Elizabeth Evans, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four young kids. I'm figuring this out as I go, but I'm here to talk to Bonnie, who has been writing and speaking on the subject for over a decade and has been homeschooling for three decades.
My name's Bonnie Landry. I've got seven kids. They're ages 13 to 33. I've been homeschooling for 29 years. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I'm an advocate of joy. So we're here to provide this podcast so that homeschooling can look like you imagined it to be. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. This is our first non-interviewed episode in a while.
It's just I know. We have a couple of cool interviews coming up. Yeah. One of them is that Michael Foley, who wrote Drinking with the Saints, is going to do an Advent interview with us.
Oh, yeah.
And then in a couple of weeks, we'll have an interview with a gal. Her name is, her Instagram handle is East Coast Kelly, who is really about simplifying your life. And so I'm really excited to interview her. I've never actually talked to her in person, but she's lovely.
Yeah, that sounds great. I need to do that. And I'm really excited about the Drinking with the Saints one. My husband actually pulled out our book and he was like, when should I start this?
I know. Yeah, I'm super excited. He thought that was an excellent idea. So he's going to give us some ideas on Advent and what we should be drinking in Advent.
Oh, that's excellent. I love that.
Oh, me too. Okay. So you have some questions.
I do. Yeah. We've got some that have been on the back burner for a while. Okay. And then some new ones. So I'll go ahead and start with the kind of the older questions, because I'm sure people are waiting.
Yeah.
And so this question, I don't know who sent it in, but the question is, how does parish services play a role in your life as well with several children in addition to extracurricular sports? Which I thought that was a great question.
It is a good question, yeah. Now, when she says parish services, do you think she means like attending things going on at your parish or serving your parish?
Can we answer both?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so let's start first with attending services.
Yeah, because the second part of that was sort of extracurricular stuff. So yeah, let's talk about that sort of attending things at your parish and with your parish life. Now, I think, first of all, I think it's super important to build community. All right. But I think in the building of community, we also have to be discerning about what community is really valuable for us. Mm-hmm. Right. So presumably people who are your peers, people who have peers for your kids, to be friends with your kids, families that you can get together with. I think that we have a beautiful, beautiful Catholic community where we live, and I feel very fortunate to have that. And in other places where that exists, and I know there are many little pockets like this, I think the reason why it works is because their whole families are friends with other whole families. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would be looking for. If I was looking for things going on at our parish or extracurricular things, I'd be looking for things that that add to the quality of your family life, right? Something that I think is a friend of mine and I were just talking about this, that when we build a community, one of the things that's really beautiful that happens, if it's another community, it's a community of family. So dads hang out, moms hang out, kids hang out. Yeah. The beautiful part of that is that there's this level of accountability without anyone ever saying, when you live in a community, you need to be accountable. You just become accountable, right? Mm-hmm. Your draw to be a better parent, your draw in holiness, your draw to increase your faith life, to be living an authentic life, whatever that means to you, is much more available to you when you belong to a community that really matters to you. So in our discernment about how much time do we spend at our parish, how much do we participate, I would be very discerning that participate in the things that are specific to your own family's needs, right?
Yeah.
And your own needs. Maybe there's a mom's get together and that's really important to you to connect with other moms. The other thing that I think I would say to this particular question is if there are, for many people, I mean, of course, now that's all we've been experiencing is sort of a lack of things going on.
Right.
Because of COVID. But I think that if something, say there's three or four things going on in your parish on a regular basis, but none of them really jive with your lifestyle, mm-hmm. start something, right? And it doesn't have to even be, you know, at your parish, it can be at your home or, you know, at shared homes or whatever. But say, for example, you're a mom who needs to get together and talk with other moms. Maybe you have little kids, maybe you have preschoolers, maybe you have a wide range of kids, whatever your needs are, mm-hmm. to just put it out there. You know, I'm going to have a coffee night for moms, you know, or a wine and cheese night for moms, and put it out there to the people that you think would be interested, you know, and sometimes it only starts with one other mom. But don't be afraid to sort of, if your needs aren't being met, to do what it takes to start meeting your own needs, right?
Yeah.
So sort of the, you know, part two of that question, you know, sort of, which is related to it, you know, extracurricular things. I think that we, as homeschoolers especially, I think we can be really hypersensitive to not providing our kids with all the things that they need. You know what I mean? So we tend to overdo extracurricular stuff. And I think that we need, again, to be very careful about how we plan our time, because everything that's available to us, most of the things available to us are really beautiful things. You know, that your kids could be in dance, your kids could be in soccer, your kids could be in the, you know, the youth group, your kids could be in this or that, you could be in this or that, but nothing has value if you're overloaded.
Right.
And so as soon as you're tip the scales of being overloaded, maybe two activities is great, three is great, four you could even do, but you're feeling a little bit frantic, five, boom, everything's horrible because, you mm-hmm. know, you are, now running on empty, in a sense, right?
Right.
So one of the rules of thumb, and I think this a family has to just spend some time discerning, but there was a couple of things that really worked for me. One was I discovered that I could only be out of the house 2 days a week. So whatever extracurriculars my kids were involved in, it had to fall on 2 days of the week. And those days were variable. It could be a Tuesday, Wednesday. It could be a, you know, Monday, Friday. It didn't really matter to me, mm-hmm. as long as I had 3 days a week at home. Right, where I didn't go in the car with all the people. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful to me. The other thing that was really, really helpful, and I'm not saying 2 days is the answer. All I'm saying is taking some time to reflect what is the answer is what's important, right? So that might mean I don't go out of the house until 4 p.m, mm-hmm. you know, or I only go out on the house on weekends or days my husband's home or whatever. But spending some time in discernment about that is really important. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is for us in terms of just discernment is that every summer, essentially, I sort of wiped the slate clean. I didn't mm-hmm. assume that because we did something last year, we were going to be doing it the next year, right? And there were many good things that we did year after year, but it was an opportunity for me to take a look at my life and say, okay, I am, you know, I'm expecting a baby. I've got a toddler who's really difficult right now. I've got a 5-year-old who's pretty easygoing, 7-year-old who's pretty easygoing. You know, my 12-year-old is making me crazy right now. You know, like you sort of assessing my life in terms of my kids and my energy level and my husband's, you know, whatever he's able to do, you know, maybe I can pass off some sort of household jobs to him that I wouldn't normally fall into my realm, but use the summertime to assess, right? This is what I'm dealing with right now, so what can I handle, right? You know, what we can handle is something we should never, ever feel guilty about. If we can handle nothing extra, mm-hmm. then that's okay. You know, a year of doing nothing extra is not going to harm anybody, right?
Right.
You know, and if you need social life, then maybe you can ask people, could you come to me right now? It's really hard for me to get out of the house for whatever reason, right?
Yeah. I feel like, oh, I should probably put my kids in more things, but it does get kind of overwhelming, you know, the idea of taking them from point A to point B and back and forth. And when are we going to have time for dinner and, you know, prayer life and all that, it's, you know, the bigger a family gets, the harder it is to kind of fit all those, you know, we used the example of rocks a few episodes ago.
Yes,
it's kind
exactly.
of hard to fit those all in there if you're piling in too many.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're trying to pile in too many things, you're just not going to be able to do anything effectively, right? Including, you know, the main thing, being kind to the people who you live with, right? And so, you know, if we can't be kind to the people we live with, we probably, you know, it's reasonable to assume we have too much on our plate, right? Too much, you know, clutter in our lives in terms of what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, do you think that's a, like, okay, I'm just going to throw this question out there. You have four fairly young kids, right? What do you feel like you can handle? I mean, let's go pre-COVID, because now, you know, most of us are not in a position where we're overloaded with stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, we are actually a one car family because my husband's office pre-COVID is only 5 minutes from our house.
Yeah.
So it was really easy to do that. You know, we didn't really need to go anywhere. It was, we were, you know, the kids are just kind of now getting at the age where, you know, they're going out and doing things a little bit more. But on weeks, there are days we'd have co-op, but we'd drop my husband at work and go to co-op 40 minutes away. And that was kind of all we did. Then we added swim lessons on top of that. And that was in the evening. And so really, we just kind of work around the fact that we only have one car. And so far that works very well. Currently, my husband does wrestling. I do CrossFit 5 days a week. And my kids do wrestling twice a week.
Right.
And it's all at the exact same gym. So
that's
what
good.
We do is my husband, 2 days a week, my husband takes us, drops us off. And then he's with the little kids. And then he picks up, or he comes back and we switch. So he stays and I take the kids home and prep dinner. And part of that feels like a hassle, but it also, I mean, my kids can buckle themselves with the exception of the youngest. And so it's just kind of, all right, guys, we're going, and then we're back and then we're going again.
That's another thing too, that I think is really important for parents with young kids to understand is that, you know, even if you have more children, every year, everybody's just a little more independent, right? Mm-hmm. And so at some point, the scale tips so that you have more helpers than people who need help, you know? And then, you know, suddenly somebody can actually babysit, you know, and you can run out to the grocery store, you know, or you, they can be there. You don't actually have to load the kids in the car. You know, okay, dad's going to be home in 10 minutes. So I just want you to watch the kids for 10 minutes, you know, while I'm heading to my class or whatever, you know, and so things change. And then suddenly somebody can drive, you know, and so not only can they drive themselves, but they can actually drive a sibling, you know. So if you just had a baby, you know, your 17 or 18 year old can drive a child, you know, maybe to their lessons or something. And so, you know, everything changes. It's very easy to kind of feel a bit stuck where we are, the same as I'm sure you remember, because it's not in your too distant past, when you only have really small children, right?
Right.
So you have two or three kids and they're, you know, say three or four and under, right? And you can't go have a shower, you know? Mm-hmm. But as soon as you have a 9 or 10 year old in the house, you know, you're kind of past that, you know, depending of course on temperaments and personalities, but often that's when you can, okay, the door's going to be unlocked if there's an emergency, but I'm just going to be in the shower, you know, and you can take that 5 minutes, right? So things change and it's quick. It goes quicker than you realize.
Yeah. Right? No, that's very true.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll remember it. I thought of something and it was like a light bulb and then now I've forgotten it.
So oh.
Maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, I love those light bulbs, except when you lose them.
Right.
And so the second part of that question was something. What was that? Or we
kind of broke it into parish services in addition to extracurricular sports. But were we also going to look at it in terms of actually getting to church services when you're overloaded with activities?
Right. It's tricky. Getting out the door to get your kids to church, that's tricky, right?
Yeah.
Or anywhere, music lessons or, you know, going to a friend's house, even something that you know they really want to do. It's like, okay. And, you know, why is this so hard? I don't understand why this is so hard. when, especially when it's places they want to go. But at some point, I don't know, it took me a while. I was a slow learner, so it took me a while to figure things out. But, you know, by the time I had probably four kids, I thought, okay, if I have to be anywhere in the morning, I need everything to be ready the night before.
Right.
That includes the car being packed and everybody's clothes laid out. Mm-hmm. And so, because it's the things that kind of are little crises that really make it difficult to get out the door, right?
Yeah.
You know, I can't find matching socks, you know, where's my dress shoe? You know, I can't go with my hair like this, you know, or whatever, you know, all the various little things, where's my
right.
coat, you know? And so if everything's laid out the night before, you're calm, you're unruffled. You're not, you know, you're not fussing about it. But if, you know, if that's not the case, it's a guarantee you're going to have crises, right? When you have
right.
more than, you know, well, any, even one child, right, is going to be a crisis. Mm-hmm. And if I had to be somewhere in the afternoon, I always packed the car in the morning, right? So that, mm-hmm. you know, 2 o'clock didn't roll around and I was like, come on, everybody. You know, I didn't want to be freaking out at my people because we had to be out the door.
Yeah.
Right. And so in general, mornings were smooth. The one thing that can, I think, be difficult is if you have a child who is, you know, slug-like in their countenance.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and so you have to allow a lot of time for that. So if you know, okay, this person, you know, needs a lot of time. You know, my youngest daughter, when she was little, she was everything was very, very precise, right? And it just took a long time to get her out the door. And finally, I don't know, I must have read this somewhere, but I said, okay, I need you to tell me how long you need. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, she was probably 7 or 8. But it was at that point where I thought, okay, I need to put the responsibility of getting out the door in your hands. And if you tell me how long you need, we can then manage this without, you know, without the problems. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she said, well, from the time, you know, you tell me it's time to go and I'm ready to get out the door, maybe I need 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we worked with that. Right. And of course you have to adapt sometimes. Actually what they think they need is maybe less or more than what they actually need.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to allow for that. But if we're not in a panic, you know, if we're already ready and we only have the one person to worry about, you know, we're just in a much better situation to actually get out the door, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to be heading off to church yelling at your kids. That just seems very counterintuitive to me.
Right. Right. Right.
Not that it never happened.
Well, I find my son, one of my sons, actually this has happened to each of my kids at some point, where we have everything ready the night before. They help pick out the pants, the shirt, you know, they have only, you know, a certain amount of shoes that they can wear to mass, right? And then it's the morning of and we're getting ready. And then all of a sudden, I don't want that sock. It feels funky. And so then there's this meltdown and it's like, we have to go. And
yeah.
So it doesn't, for us, a lot of the time, it doesn't matter how prepared we are. Something always happens and we're
It does. And I mean, so building buffers, you know, like if we build a 10 minute buffer into what we think it's going to take to get out the door in a reasonable time, just gives us that extra 10 minutes to deal with, you know, the problems, right? Because
right.
I mean, it's true, you know, that we just don't know. The unexpected can happen in any moment, you know, and that said, we need to be just okay with it. If we were 10 minutes late, you know, like, you know, you're paying for music lessons and you're 10 minutes late getting out the door and you feel kind of antsy, like, oh, I'm paying for this time. But is the price of what you're paying in those lost 10 minutes worth the freaking out at your kid, right?
Right, right.
You know, and ultimately, you know, all of us would say, no, it isn't.
Right.
But, you know, it's a good management skill, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next question is kind of almost like a part two to what we were just talking about.
Okay.
I find it difficult to serve in our parish. Do you have any thoughts or personal experience on, you know, being more of a servant for parish life?
Okay. I do. Guess what? I don't even know this. So first of all, the reasons why it might be difficult to serve at the parish level might be, you know, could vary quite a lot. Okay. One is there's too many parish politics and I'm finding it unpleasant to deal with that. And I find that stressful. I'm going to assume that because we're dealing with, you know, young families in general, as our listenership, that what they mean is I have a young family. How do I extend myself to the point where I can actually be helping out with our parish? Okay. Mm-hmm. We always have to remember that our vocation is our family. When we get married, our marriage, and then, you know, by default, our family is our vocation. And so that has to be the first thing. So it's God, marriage, and then everything else afterwards. And, you know, marriage meaning also family. Everything else is secondary to that, right? And so I don't think anybody with a bunch of little kids should ever feel pressured to be adding to parish life. They should, mm-hmm. of course, pray for your parish, pray for your church, offer what you can. You know, if there's things you can attend, great. If there's lottery tickets and you can afford to buy them, you know, that there's, you know, having a draw to raise a fundraiser or something like that. Yeah, support in that way if you can. But we should never feel obliged to go outside of what we think is reasonable for our family so that we're leaving our wife alone or our husband alone or our kids, you know, with a babysitter or whatever to serve at the parish life, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, that might sound a bit hard-hearted, but I think that, you know, every life, part of your life has its seasons, and there will be seasons that you will be the givers, right?
Right.
And so, you know, give when you can, you know, when it's appropriate to do so. And, you know, that's a process of discernment. Only you and your spouse can know, okay, what is the appropriate level of commitment that we have to serve in our parish in whatever capacity. So, there's a really great program called, Called and Gifted, mm-hmm. that I think is incredibly valuable. We haven't done the official program. We've done it casually just as a group of friends. But the idea of Called and Gifted, I'll put a link in the show notes to this. The idea of Called and Gifted is that it helps you discern your charisms. Okay. And it's a beautiful program. So you can just sort of do it and, you know, read through the material together as yourself. Apparently the speakers that they get are stellar. And so if you have it where you do it over a weekend and a speaker comes and gives talks and there's breakout sessions and whatnot, and you address what your charisms are, that, you know, the idea behind that being how can I use the gifts that God has given me best, right? Sure. And when we are open to that, like what has God given me, you know, for example, my husband and I have always known that one of our charisms is hospitality, right? So that's in a sense serving our parish, but not at our parish, right?
Right.
It's having families over to our house. So not only are we serving the families of the parish, we're also serving our own needs in that, because we want our kids to grow up with a really strong sense of community. So, you know, that was a really important thing to discern. Okay, what is it I'm gifted at? And, you know, one of the things you're going to know about your own charisms is that they're going to fill you with life rather than suck the life out of you, right? Mm-hmm. And so we don't always know what our charisms are. And so this process of discernment with Called and Gifted helps you define what it is your charisms are. And of course that could, you know, change, you know, at different points in different seasons in your life as well, right? So I would highly recommend that. It's a Catholic program, but I think almost anybody would benefit from it. It's fantastic. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to piggyback on kind of your first thought on that, you know, first and foremost, our duty is to our families. And growing up, I cantored at Mass. That was kind of my gift, is I was a trained singer growing up. And so when I got married and started having kids, there was a point where my two oldest, those were the only kids we had at the time, were kind of at an age where I was like, I feel like I could do this again, you know? So
yeah.
At our Latin Mass parish, I joined the choir, and it was pretty far from our home. And so it was like 40 minutes, and I had these two young kids. And so it was one or two rehearsals a week. And then, of course, getting there early at Latin math. That's like 2 hours, right?
And then your husband being on his own with the kids.
Latin mass. So that was kind of short-lived. I gave it a shot and it just was not the time in our life. But, you know, so it was very clear that, I have to stick with the duty to my family. And then maybe in the future, I'll be able to revisit that again.
Absolutely. And, you know, that tension between you and what you're committing to is kind of a good sign, right? That, you know, okay, this is a in the process of discernment, if I'm feeling really disturbed about this, probably not the time, or probably not charism, right? So definitely a good path of discernment.
The other thing that I thought of when you were talking about the book, the program to figure out, you know, kind of how best you can serve. It makes me laugh because I can be very emotional about things. And so I like to joke with my husband that I shouldn't serve people, because what I do is I start crying. It's like, it's almost as if I'm just like, look at me, look what I'm doing. And that's not my intent at all. But it's like, you know, giving a homeless person a 20 and I start crying like, here you go.
I don't think any of us would think it was self-serving in any way.
But I just joke with my husband, like, I shouldn't, you know, give people money or things because I just cry.
So much of life is discernment, you know, how much time how much time do you give to extracurricular, how many days you spend out of the house, how many, you know, how much do you serve at your church, you know, all of that is so much about discernment. And that kind of something I was thinking about today, actually, that's always been really, really important to me, is that we have to plan time to not be doing anything.
Right.
That time to just sit and have coffee together, time to just be, you know, whether it's by yourself or with your spouse or with your family, but time that is not taken up by anything. Right. Because how do you discern anything when your time is always taken up with things? Right.
Right.
You know, and so it's just, I think it's an important thing we need to build into our everyday.
Right. Yeah. And I often do wonder, you know, if my husband should try lecturing or be Knights of Columbus or something to kind of model that serving to our kids. Yeah. But he's kind of disinterested in it. Part of it has to do with the more kind of traditional upbringing of Latin mass. There aren't lectors, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is he thinks all Knights of Columbus members are older. So if there are anybody out there whose husbands are Knights of Columbus and, you know, you're kind of young, write in or something.
Well, you know, my husband's a Knight of Columbus and, you know, and he's quite involved, but, you know, he's always been a knight for years and years and years, but he wasn't very involved when our kids were small. But interestingly, there are several young knights in our parish. Now, there's not a lot going on, of course, because it's a small parish. But, you know, I think part of that was seeing their dads, you know, committed to something that was important and valuable. Nice. But again, you know, something to remember is that, you know, your kids grow into their understanding of how you serve. And so, I mean, you know, just by way of example, my oldest daughter, I think she was 13, 14 maybe, when we moved into the house we live in now. And she feels like this is the house she was raised in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, you know, those early years are so vital, but those are not necessarily what they're going to remember you guys doing, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, their family life.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah. My dad was a knight with the Knights of Columbus when I was young, so early 30s. So, Yeah, I think it's just generally you see the older men,
old guys, kids
are grown.
And I mean, in a way that's natural and normal too. Like the parish should be supported by, you know, largely by the people who are, you know, have less family commitments and their, you know, their family's growing and, you know, they have more free time, right?
Yeah.
You know, at your stage of life, free time, like what is that, you know?
In searching for community, because the two Catholic parishes in our small city are kind of older. You know, there aren't very many young families, at least not attending Mass. Mm-hmm. And so we were hoping to kind of try and maybe start something to get other families that are close by for our kids to grow up next to. And there was one other family, a mom that was working with me, and we planned this event where we rented out the gymnasium at the school, and it was like a potluck style. We put it in the bulletin, and I found out the day of that it was the day of this big Michigan college football game. So the two main state colleges in Michigan were playing football on this date. So there were three families total that came. Right.
And well, that's remarkable considering.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so check conflicting details for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. One of the things I would love to address at some point in the future is we have with another couple for the last, 20 years, have organized a Catholic camp that we actually took over from another couple that had been going on even longer than that. And I'd love to talk with parents about sort of how to organize things like that. Like if you wanted to put on a camp for your, you know, local homeschool families, you know, what that would look like, or for the local families in your parish or whatever, what that would look like and how to organize that. And, you know, that would be a cool topic.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much community lacking in several parishes across the country and in Canada, I'm sure as well, but
You have to work at it, right? You have to work.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So should we wrap it up there for the time being? And then if there's any questions left, we can roll them over to next time.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, awesome. So a couple things happening that I want to make people aware of, and I want to put this in the show notes, is that I just did a blog post about sort of this idea of having a kind of an online community for people who want to homeschool kind of in the Socratic relationship-based method, right? Because when you belong to another kind of a, like sort of an educational program, that's something that's kind of built in. Or if your kids go to school, that's something that's kind of built in, you know, sort of the natural support that comes with that. And, you know, since the podcast started, I've had people on many occasions sort of text me and say, you know, I would love some ongoing support. Do you do online coaching? Do you do, you know, can I book an appointment with you? That kind of thing. And so I thought, you know, I think this is something we really need to take a look at. So I'm just getting some sort of gleaning some ideas. So I have a link to that. And also I'm doing a paragraph writing workshop on the 17th of November at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I will put the link to that as well, where I describe what I'll be doing, and then a link to the registration if you're interested in participating.
Sounds good.
Okay. So you can reach us in all the usual places for your questions via message on Instagram, messages on my Facebook page, Make Joy Normal, or on my website.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Good night.